Welcome to the OTL NRL Fantasy Podcast, bringing you comprehensive news and analysis designed to help you dominate your NRL fantasy season.
G'day footy fans and welcome back to the podcast. Before we jump into the listener questions, we'll go through a quick update on my side and also Liam's. So my team scored a very average 922 points in round 18, but I still managed a small green arrow of nearly 300 places into 2.9k overall. Considering I was around 6k a couple of weeks ago, I'll take that. As for my trade plans ahead of round 19, at this stage, I have Laurie to Turbo locked in. This will allow me to start Tommy and put Pappenhausen into the loop spot with someone like Teague Wilton. While I need him starting, and it looks like I'll be waiting at least another week for that, it's great to see a green tick next to Pappy's name after all this time. This season will forever come down to the horrible decision to hold Ryan Pappenhausen this long. Nevertheless, I'm hoping to be back to full strength with my side as of round 20. Moving on to Liam's team now, who had a frustrating week with Harris and Ponga both going off early and scoring poorly. As a result, Liam's team only managed 891 points, and his rank remained in place at roughly 2.2k. One move that did go quite well, however, was the acquisition of Dewey as his 18th man and halves cover. Lockie Lewis was also a consideration for Liam as he loves anyone with bulk kick meters, but I pushed him toward Dewey on his return to the six. Hopefully for our friendship, that continues to be good advice in the longer term. As for trades, Liam is moving on Harris for Haas and also considering cutting ties with Fisher Harris. He's closely considering Radley due to the cash it will free up for a future trade. Well, that's it for the team's wrap. Let's get into some questions.
Listener Q&A.
Of course, these questions all come in via Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you're not currently following us on these platforms, I'll have all the links down in the show notes below. Let's start with Facebook. The first question comes in from Billy, who wants to know who's the best trade-in target out of Jason Taumalolo and Payne Haas. Firstly, I rate both players very highly as pickups this week. If I could only take one of the two, I'd have the former set-and-forget captain in Payne Haas as my primary target. While Taumalolo has hit his straps over the past three games, and I'm personally a very happy owner, he has scored 5 points per game less than Haas over the past three, and I expect his output is close to what we'll see for the remaining seven rounds. In contrast, the departure of Lodge and the Broncos' soft draw once they do get past the Panthers are two significant factors that could combine to create a favourable position for Haas to actually improve his output. A current edge and the potential to create further separation is enough for me to take Payne in a close one. Up next, we have Nate, and he's wondering if SJ is a trade-out. He's considering Marnie and Olakau'atu as potential replacements. Now, Johnson was very disappointing against the Raiders, coming away with just 22 points, and it's understandably got most of the OTL community pretty concerned heading into round 19. We even had comments from the media indicating that he looked disinterested and like his mind was on returning back to the Warriors in 2022. However, taking a look at the numbers, it's clear that we've got a bit of an outlier here in Johnson's missed tackles. Up until last week, Johnson was averaging 2 missed tackles per game, but this number climbed to 9 over the weekend, amounting to 18 points in demerits. A typical defensive performance would have had his score back up into the late 30s and really at a level that we've come to expect from time to time out of these tier 2 fantasy halfbacks. For those with very few trades, I think he's worth another look with a 5-game average of above 62 prior to round 18. And he does have the Bulldogs up next, so he has a perfect opportunity here to bounce back with some attacking stats. And if he can tidy up the defensive work as well, you'd have to assume he's in a good position to put out a good fantasy score. What coaches may need to consider, though, is his ceiling has taken a hit with the loss of the goal-kicking duties and a little bit of the general play kicking as well as Trindle continues to become more involved. Perhaps mid-50s is the new high point we should be expecting from SJ moving forward, as opposed to those 70-plus performances we've seen earlier in the year off the back of 6 to 14 points in goal kicking to go along with those healthier kick meter statistics. If you're in a fortunate position with above average trades and you're looking for higher ceiling out of your players at this stage of the season, I can definitely understand the move to a premium player. Of the two options that you've mentioned, I'd be bypassing Olakau'atu at this stage of the season and going straight up to a genuine top 17 scorer in Marnie and someone who's been doing it for a lot longer. Up next we have Braden, and he's wondering if there are any good cash out options this week and goes on to mention that Savage would have been the man for him. Unfortunately, Savage was the standout cash out option this week, and with a season ending injury confirmed, it's very slim pickings for NRL fantasy coaches looking to free up some funds this week. The only other guy you could take a flyer on in the outside backs is Billy Smith at the Roosters, but I wouldn't want to bet on him keeping Josh Morris out of the side for the remainder of the year. So you'd have to be comfortable with him potentially becoming a red dot at some stage, or at least not being a weekly starter. If you can forego 100k in unlocked cash, Tom Starling is an interesting option who appears to have played himself into a 55-minute role from the interchange in recent weeks. The benefit here is that he becomes a nice break glass emergency play with a mid to high 40s output in this current role, should you ever find yourself really digging deep into your emergencies at the back end of the season. Moving on to Twitter now, we'll start with White Air Monarchs. And he's asking, is Jaden Brayley to Marnie the play with 9 trades remaining? We've spoken about Brayley being a prime upgrade target for a little while now, and we still haven't seen that bounce in his scores that many of us were hoping for off the back of that round 17 bye after a bit of a freshen up. Brayley now has just 1 score above 50 in his last 7 starts, and Marnie, of course, wasted absolutely no time in reminding us of his upside with another 70-plus score to his name. Marnie is still priced nearly 200k from his peak in round 5 and still represents excellent value this week. Given he hasn't played a whole lot of footy this year, Reed should be fresh and ready to help his side charge into semi-final footy. I'd be locking this one in with confidence. If you don't need to target another hooker, other considerations for me would be Payne Haas and Cameron Murray. The next question comes in from Dylan, and he's trading out Harris to Marnie, but is wondering, is it also worth doing Moses to Murray? Unfortunately, Moses owners are in a bit of a tricky spot this week. We don't have an official return date as of yet, but the Eels are hopeful his back fracture will heal naturally and he'll be available in the coming weeks. Given the uncertainty at this stage, it may be smart to wait a week to get some updated news, particularly for those coaches who are getting really thin on remaining trades. However, if you're set on trading him out and you need to make a charge at head-to-head finals, I think Murray should be near top of the list. Interestingly, Murray's 3-game average of 73.3 can only be bettered by Mitch Moses, as well as Cherry Evans and Cleary, making him one of the most informed players available in the game, despite his friendly price point, which is still under 700k. Of course, the dual positioning is also a critical factor, and the Bunnies draw looks really enticing for Murray's output with upcoming fixtures against the Warriors, the Dragons twice, and the Titans on the run home. The only other consideration I'd suggest you factor in here is the potential for the management of his minutes or a potential rest for Murray in the short term. Murray got through plenty of work in Origin and went backing up against the Bulldogs on Sunday. We've seen in the past that Bennett is happy to manage the workload of his most important players, and it wouldn't surprise at all if he was to sit Murray out in one of these upcoming games that the Bunnies should win comfortably. Moving on to Instagram now, we have Andy Ryan who says he's saving trades at the expense of points at the moment in the chance that Cleary comes back, and he's wondering, is that stupid or smart? He says, P.S. love the podcast. You boys have saved my sanity this year. Thanks, mate. Really appreciate you tuning in. Assuming Cleary's rehab is successful and he's able to reach his strength and range of movement goals ahead of a round 20 return, I'd say this is a smart play, particularly if you're a head-to-head player that's not appearing in danger of missing your finals at this stage. Provided he's able to carry out his ordinary role, it's obvious that Cleary is an out-and-out game-changer in NRL fantasy based on his average, but also how captaincy works for double points. The fact that you could have this significant advantage of Cleary as your captain at a much lower ownership than earlier in the year makes the prospect even more enticing. The risks in allowing these other trade opportunities to pass you by while you wait for Cleary are, of course, the chance that he picks up another knock and re-injures the shoulder, or if he shows any caution on return and keeps himself out of contact where possible, which could see him reduce the tendency to take on the line in good ball. If you're of the belief that the Panthers wouldn't risk him unless they were confident he can play out his role and do it safely, then Cleary could absolutely lead you to your head-to-head league title or a late charge in the overall rankings. We'll wrap up now with Harry, who's wondering if Dewey is a good trade in this week. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Liam jumped on Dewey last week and was a beneficiary of his explosive return game to the halves. As impressive as he was in this game, I'd probably only be jumping on under the same circumstances as Liam, where he's an 18th man slash loop option for you. This is primarily due to the fact that this big score was off the back of 5 try assists, as opposed to a big kick meter tally that he was putting up in his stint in the halves earlier in the year. Based on this one game sample size, it looks as though it's within the game plan for Brooks to continue to control the general play kicking, which makes Dewey a low floor, high ceiling play that's heavily reliant on those attacking stats. If you are able to pick him up in the 18th man slot in your side, I'd say you will be looping him in at least a couple of times with the Bulldogs twice, the Warriors, Cowboys and Sharks all coming up on the run home. Thank you for tuning in to another mini pod. I hope this one was helpful. We have got Liam back next week, so we'll be back to our original programming. And we've also got an exciting announcement coming up in the next couple of episodes, so make sure you stay tuned for that one. Until then, I'll chat to you guys on the socials.
Thanks for listening to the OTL NRL Fantasy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. For more NRL fantasy content, visit outoftheirleague.com.au and we'll catch you on the next one.